Namaste. So the reflection that we have today, short quick reflection, is on the problem of heredity. How does heredity relate to the larger picture, the overall picture of man's journey? Is everything tied to heredity? Are we a slave to what we have received from the ancestors? So all these things, but in a spiritual light, because this can be seen purely from a medical side. And nowadays, almost for everything, heredity and genes are being blamed. So there is something which we receive from the past. That is how Sri Aurobindo says, and it's a well-known thing. So what do we receive from the past? First is, of course, karmic impressions which come. So what really are these karmic impressions? Whatever groove in which we have let our energies run, they have not yet arrived at their full learning. So that unfinished curve of learning starts repeating itself. It's like a habitual pattern in which our nature has run, and it tends to form something of our external character. Then there is another aspect, which is heredity. Now, heredity has a strong place in earthly life, because everything is based on matter. So, as is the formation of the body, now formation of the body depends upon the genes and the heredity factor. So it does play a part. Now heredity has two aspects, I think, just to make it clear. One is the physical aspects and the second is psychological aspect. Now psychological aspects is a very debatable thing. How much is heredity? Only the external aspects of characters are picked up. And sometimes it's not so much heredity as it's a learning. So very difficult to distinguish between the two. When a child grows up in a certain environment, he picks up from parents their habitual patterns. So it's not just heredity. It's simply a vertical transmission from parent to child because of the environment in which a person has lived. Nevertheless, well, we can say that overall, heredity has a place in formation of the body. And it has a place in the formation of the external man, the character of a human being in terms of habits, patterns, tendencies, the lower vital nature particularly. But if man was only this, then there will be no hope. Fortunately, man is much more than just body and the lower vital and the external man. The true man, Sri Aurobindo says, is the inner being. And when one takes up yoga, it is the inner being which is being formed, the inner man, the inner personality. Now let's take an example. So what is an inner personality? Say outwardly you may see somebody habitually doing certain things, but we don't know what are the qualities, the attitudes, that we don't know. That is what is shaped through yoga, and it forms an inner being which is can be so completely independent of the outer. That literally a person who is outwardly weak can display acts of tremendous courage. Simply because the inner being is like that. So the inner being which forms over lives, ordinarily most people are not aware. Especially when you don't do yoga, you remain tied to the outer being. But the moment we begin to do yoga, we begin to discover that there is an inner being, an inner personality within us which is changing. This inner being is open to the universal forces. This inner being is easily opens to the soul, to the divine above, because unlike the outer nature, which is compartmentalized largely by the physical and the strong ego structure, the inner being is more fluid. It's open to all these forces. So therefore, the inner being can start impressing itself on the outer nature and the physical body and change fixed destiny. How can the inner being do it? By thought, by feelings, by faith, by persistent will. So this is the way it has to be done. Whatever be your endowment that one has received, the whole idea of yoga is to free oneself from that slavery. Otherwise, yoga has no meaning if one has to remain tied to whatever one had received. Also, if you see the karmic law, what does it mean? It means that we may have received something from the past, but my present actions are going to form my future. So even biologically, by the way, there is a kind of research which has time to time shown that our thoughts and feelings act upon the body. And also at the cellular level, the genes are switched on at a point of time. How do they switch on? Because there are actual physical processes, small little molecules which are called as, you know, reverse transfer RNA. They pick up information from the surface and go into the cells and activate. What is the information they pick up? Possibly these vibrations of thought, possibly these states of consciousness, and they pick up, translate into material things, go and trigger, switch on a particular genetic event or switch off. So this is from a purely biological level also. It is possible that human psychology can change physical, fixed physical processes. I'll give one or two examples just to illustrate. So there are now these researches, you know, they get lost in the heap of things because they don't fetch money. So I'll give you one example of a research where there was a group of people who were suffering from malignancy, and they were given a game to play. In the game, it was like you have the white cells, you have the tumor cells, the white cells are killing the tumor cells. And another group which were not given this game, but everything else was same. Now the people who were imagining their white cells killing the tumor cells, the result was better, much better. How did it happen? It goes on to absurd levels, seemingly absurd level, that there was a whole group where people were given methotrexate. Methotrexate is a medicine which reduces your white blood cells. And another group which was given saccharin. I mean, they needed methotrexate just to study. And now they don't know. None of them knows what is being given. Here at least they know that I'm playing a game. White cells killing the, you know, it's a action against the tumor cells. Here they didn't know which group is getting methotrexate, which group is getting saccharin. The beauty was they were all told you are getting methotrexate. And the people who were getting even saccharin but told methotrexate, even their white blood cells started going down. How is it happening? It's a physical phenomena. It's because the switch to all these processes, physical and mental, is will in man. Thought and will. Even there are stage 4 cancers. I have recounted this story when people were doing research on, LSD addictions, on terminally ill patients, and how a lady, by the sheer will that, no, I don't want, I want the baby and I want to live, everything changed. But the problem is, see, what people don't do. They think automatically it will happen. No, when a shift takes place, then many things have to be shifted. So destiny is not just about, I will change. Everything is interconnected, will shift. You just can't help it. If you want to change destiny, be prepared that everything else will undergo a shift. So this is the story of this lady who was having stage 4 ovarian cancer, out to die, about to die in a few months, and she was pregnant. So she didn't know. She had decided, I'll abort the baby. When suddenly, LSD experiment, hypnosis, in that state she was asked a strange question, do you want the baby? She has already decided to abort. And why would she want the baby? And she said, yes, I want the child. And later on she recounted that that moment I had a will that I want to live. But what she did, she came out of that, she changed her job, she changed her husband, she changed her place of work, and she went on to live for 20 more years, the study was after 20 years documented in Andrew Weil's book. So basically, destiny can be changed, but we have to understand it's a package. All these circumstances of your life are operating as a result of your past. You can't say, I want to keep everything, but I want to quietly change. It doesn't happen. So that's how Mother explains that the influence of stars and all the forces of destiny, they can completely change. Because a higher determinism is acting upon us. When you take to spiritual life, now it is not only the inner being. We take one more step, the soul in man, it can completely change the fate. The grace above, completely annul the chain of karma. But when it annuls, you have to be clear that it may annul all that was connected at a point of time because of a certain fate. And that is the biggest challenge, because people don't want that. The story of the boy whose father was, resisting him, his spiritual life, and he prayed to Mother, to the Divine. Mother has recounted the story. I want to be, you see, he stops me, what to do, what to do, what to do. So his father fell ill, and seriously ill. He was on deathbed. Then he started praying, what kind of cruel being you are, my father is dying. So he recovered, and again he started stopping his son. So she says one must have clarity. So there are contradictory wills inside us because of which the destiny always remains confused. That's why from this we'll come to the next logical question. That's why if we want to change destiny, it cannot be done by various kind of, oh, heredity. No, but heredity is very powerful because, you know, WhatsApp message says so. Because all the voices of scientists say so. But maybe mother says you can change it. Let me try to change it. It won't work in all likelihood. Because within us, one will is cancelling another. So if you want to change things, stay steadfast with one will. This is one of the lessons of Savitri. Fate can be changed and then by an unchanging will. Now the beauty of this is that even if for some reason it doesn't change, you have willed strongly, steadfastly, you have now laid the lines clear for your time to come. Because you remain steadfast in your will. So this is one part. Okay. So heredity can be changed very much. We have one last example with which I can stop. How Prithvi Singh Nahar. He had. And there are instances where people had short life. But Prithvi Singh Nahar actually had this eye defect. Where he was told that by 35 his eyes will go away. He'll become blind. What work did mother give him? Type out Sri Aurobindo's letters and, you know, manuscripts. He said, mother, but I've been diagnosed. He looked and said, no. She said such a strong no. Till 70, 75, though his eyesight deteriorated, but he never got that blind as he was told that by 35 he'll get blind. Because he used these eyes to serve the divine. And therefore there was a very special grace. And even till late age, when people had a doubt, what has Sri Aurobindo written, they would give it to him. And he had to bring it very close to his eyes and literally do like this, like a scan, no? And that was taken as granted that this is the correct thing. Because when you, most importantly, we must remember, what do we put the body to use for? For all the ego satisfactions of life. How do we expect it to change? It's not a wishful thinking. Use the body to serve the divine and everything can change. Because then the body will open to the divine influx, to the divine working, divine force. That's why in this yoga, karma yoga and service is so important. When somebody asked Sri Aurobindo, I want to come and get mantra from mother. He said, mother doesn't give mantra, she gives work. Why? Because when you work, then the body prays and the body opens to the force and the body starts receiving. That is how one changes it. But if the body doesn't participate in the movement of yoga, inwardly one may have wonderful experiences, but that changes nothing on ground level. So the body to participate, that's why even gestures, when you bow down, when you do this, it's what does it mean? The body is participating in the yoga. There are some people who feel that if they bow to the samadhi, it's ritual. No. Poor body, you know, you're not letting it participate. It's all within. Are we disembodied beings? No. We are a totality. We are a continuity. We are not like body is one thing and inner being is another, soul is another. We are a totality. Every action means everything is in it. Even if you want, you cannot cut it. That's why the actions of the body has consequences on the soul. And equally the soul flows into the body. So the body must participate in the movement of yoga. And then everything is possible and everything can change because this world is not built by random bricks of chance. And there is a greater force which can completely inform the cells. Almighty powers are shut in nature's cells and they can change everything provided. He says even mind has that power. If you read Savitri, he says even the human mind is a mediator divinity. It can undo nature's work. It can change the laden formulas it has built. Even the mind, leave aside, you know, higher domains. By the sheer power of the mind, and there are countless examples I have recounted in many of the talks, so I am not going to, you know, duplicate them. But yes, heredity can change. Everything can change. This is one of the big differences between what the mother and Sri Aurobindo say and the traditional yoga. Traditional yoga, you can't do anything about nature. Find the soul, discover, come out. Nature will go with its own momentum. But the mother and Sri Aurobindo say, that nature can be changed, and the nature means the most material nature also. And now with the supramental force active upon earth, it has become even more easier to change even the most material and outward nature. Namaste.